life, but more importantly, how their life points to the one who gives life, Jesus. All these men were notable because of one thing. They weren't notable because they built massive places of worship for God, or they built, or they gave massive amounts of money to their church or their homeless organization, or they they took the slums out. Like down in Colombia, we even had a guy that was famous, Pablo Escobar, who was hated by half of Medellin and loved by the other half. And the ones that loved him is he bulldozed the slums and gave them all new homes. And so they weren't notable because of anything they did. They were notable because of their faith in God. That is the only reason these people are listed. By faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, by faith, Jacob. Every one of them were noted because of their faith. So it's important we look at this in Hebrews 11 and verse 22. And before we even start, we're going to talk about Joseph for a minute, but has anybody in here ever felt they were special? Go ahead, raise your hand. Yeah. If you haven't felt you were special, you need to have that feeling sometime. Because this is the way God looks at you. You say, really? Really? Joseph was that one who was special. Out of all the brothers, 11 other brothers, Joseph got the coat of many colors. Joseph didn't have to do what his brothers did. He kind of got the easy work. And then Joseph was favored. Now take your finger and point to yourself. Say, I am favored by God. I am special of God. God has given me a coat of many colors. And this is the way God is with us. So we need to have that special feeling because that's what God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel special. We are sanctified. We are set apart from this world. That alone makes us special. So by faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, he mentioned the exodus of the Israelites, and he gave instructions concerning his bones. Now, when I first looked at this verse, I said, how am I going to preach a sermon on that? How am I possibly going to preach a sermon on, by faith, he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the Israelites, and gave instructions concerning his bones. Who cares about your bones? Right? Had this conversation with another believer the other day, and she asked me, when you die, do you want to be embalmed and put in a box, or you want to be cremated? I said, I don't really care. That's not me anymore. That's a man was brought from dust back to dust. The soul remains. And my soul is saved with him. My spirit is with him. So it doesn't really matter. We're going to be given a new body, a heavenly body. And so he mentions instructions concerning his bones. And I'm looking at this going, okay, that's weird. So I go back to Genesis, and we go to Genesis 50, and we see where Joseph said to his brothers. Now, if you remember the story, Joseph had been sold into slavery because he had had these dreams and he had gone bragging. He didn't think he was bragging. He was just excited. Have you ever been excited about something God was doing for you in your life and you went and shared it with someone? And they went, ugh. You know, well, good for you. God's never done anything for me. And they actually despise you for it. Well, that's not fair. God's never blessed me that way. And hey, I'm just sharing with you the joy of my Lord. To some people, that's offensive because they don't know the Lord. Sometimes the blessings you get are offensive to other people. And God's going to bless you no matter what. Just because you're His. Just because you're a child of His. You're going to be blessed and you're going to have favor. And so we remember the story. Joseph was going to his brothers. I had a dream. All your sheaves bowed down to my sheaves. And then he had another dream. And then they said, you know, we're tired of this guy. He thinks he's better than us. Did Joseph say that? No. He was just speaking truth and it offended them. So you know the story. They threw him in a pit. They waited for the caravan to come by, and they sold him off to the Egyptians. And he finds himself in Egypt. And he finds himself in the Pharaoh's house. And then he finds himself interpreting dreams for the Pharaoh. And then he finds himself appointed number two in the entire land of Egypt. Only the Pharaoh had greater power than him. Keep in mind, he's a Jewish boy in Egypt. That'd be equivalent to being the vice president of our country. And he's running the show. Joseph is running the show. And he's been given this wisdom by God, because the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, as we know, was only given to certain people. It wasn't given to everyone. That's why they had prophets in the Old Testament. They would go to Moses. What does God want us to do? He wants you to do this, this, this. Okay, we will obey. 3 days later, they got a golden calf and they're having an orgy around it. How'd that work out for you? We don't have prophets today. There are no more prophets today. The Holy Spirit has been poured out freely. He lives within you. How do you know what is right and wrong? The Holy Spirit is within you. How are you able to love someone? The Holy Spirit is within you. Everywhere you go, you take Jesus with you. So here he is. He has the Holy Spirit upon him, and he's having these visions. There's going to be 7 years of famine. And so Joseph starts making preparations. And you know the story. The brothers came to Egypt and begged for food, and then he revealed who he was. So this is after that episode, and his brothers are with him, and he says, I'm about to die. But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they're in Egypt, and they still have hope. Why? Because they still have faith in God that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and say, God will surely come to your aid, and you must carry my bones up from this place. Understanding what is important to someone. Let's talk about this for a second. If you want to know what's important to someone, listen to what they say and what they emphasize. And then pay attention to what they do not say or even mention. Here's my dad's Bible from 1979. I've got an older one. I don't know where it's at. He was born in 32. I need to find an older one. I like the old stuff. I haven't flipped through here much, but we can flip through here. Okay, let's see. What does he emphasize? Here's one. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. The God's wrath remains on him. How do I know he emphasized it? He highlighted it right there. Listen to what someone is saying. What are they talking about all the time? Pay attention to what, and also look at what they're not saying. And you can find out what is really important to someone. So let's look at this real quick. Not mentioned by Paul. In this verse, not mentioned by Paul, was Jacob being favored by God. He doesn't mention that at all. Where does he say that? He doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't say anything about how, under God's favor, his dad gave him a coat of many colors, which separated him from basically all his other brothers. Paul doesn't say anything about how Joseph could interpret dreams. He doesn't say anything about Joseph was second in command in Egypt. He doesn't say one word about it. That would be pretty notable, don't you think? Especially think about the story again. You were sold into slavery. You were almost killed. I think one brother saved him. No, don't kill him. We'll sell him. The other brothers wanted to kill him. He was almost killed. Sold into slavery. Now he's number two most important dude in the whole country of Egypt, which was a very powerful country. Don't you think that would have been something? No, Paul didn't mention that. How about the tremendous wisdom that Joseph had? To be able to say, hey, we need to start storing up crops because 7 years of famine are coming. How about the insight, the managerial skills to get everybody to, hey, go out, let's start doing this, go over there, do this, directing hundreds of thousands of people, influencing hundreds of thousands of people to do what he's telling them to do. Do they have confidence in what he's saying? He doesn't mention anything about that. He doesn't mention how Joseph saved thousands of people's lives. Wow, that's pretty important. He said, no, there's no mention of that at all. What does he mention? Paul mentions Joseph's desire to be buried in the land of the promise. This is the sure sign that Joseph believed God's promise to give his people to the land of Canaan. This makes Joseph a man of faith. Did you catch it? He says, I'm probably not going to see that promised land, but I know it's going to happen. Carry my bones there. That made him a man of faith. I'm going to ask you guys today, are we a people of faith? Because that's the only thing that God's going to recognize in our lives. Did you believe in me? Did you trust in me? Did you put your faith and trust in me? That I am the God of the universe. I give and I take away. I bring wrath, I bring judgment, I bring justice, I bring righteousness. And to some people, to say you just got to believe is offensive. Why is it offensive? Because they're trying to work out their own salvation. They're trying to God, look at me. Look at me. Look at what all I'm doing for you. When it's the other way around, it's look at him. Look at what he has already done for me. And we've talked about this before, the difference between a religious person and a true believer. The religious person will tell you all they're doing for God. All the good things they're doing for God. All the good things they're doing for their church. All the good things they're doing for him. Look at me. And the repentant believer will say, throw himself on the floor, on the ground, and say, look at him. Look at what all he has done for me. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we find that, when we finally see that, we can rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. What does that mean? We're no longer having to appease God. He's no longer mad at us. He's no longer disappointed in us. He's never been that way. Once we believe, we are his. We are cleansed. And we are righteous. Why? Because of our belief in him. Because of our faith in him. And that's what we need to remember, guys, as we go through. Let's quit trying to fake it till we make it. And let's just rest in him. I know people in my own family, they won't even take a vacation without going to a church somewhere. What's wrong with you, man? Yeah, well, you know, I've got to keep up my image. You know, that's what I do. I go to church every Sunday. Okay, well, does that make you feel better? Because God really don't care. He cares if you have faith in him. He cares if he is your all in all. It's not about did you go to church on vacation to 2,000 miles away. And you're going to let everybody know about it, by the way. Got to let everybody know about it or it don't count. Relax. You can take a day off. I thought about taking one off today. been kind of under the weather. God's not mad at you. We got to realize this, guys. Joseph was a man of faith. This is all this mentioned. And as we follow through, I invite you to return for more of Hebrews 11 as we follow through with this and notice that every single person in here was noted for their faith, not for their accomplishments, not for what they did, but for what he did and their faith in him. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this word today. And as brief as it is, Lord, it's a profound word that you have given to all people who will listen, to all people who will open their ears and listen to that calling that you're calling for them out of love. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. Out of your love for us, you sent your son, your only son, and made the way. Who made the way for us? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Lord, we rejoice in that, Lord. We rejoice that we know the way, that you have revealed that way. And his name is Jesus. And Lord, we rejoice that we can rest in you. We don't have to perform anymore. We don't have to outdo any other person. We don't have to beat our chest and say, look at us. Look what we're doing. You love us anyway. Just like we are. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your unconditional love. That agape love, that any kind of love that only you can give and that only we can get a taste of by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.